So we read from Zechariah today. Zephaniah. Yeah, you know, it's from Z-Man. Good old Zechahubi. Zephaniah, we don't read from him very often because we hear stuff like this. As a matter of fact, in the old lectionary we used to use, all of the difficult and scary stuff in the Bible was actually taken out. You'll be reading along and they'll cut it. They'll say, read. We did actually did that today, but it wasn't because of the scary stuff. It was because there was a theme they were trying to go for. And it'll say, I'll go down and they get to the hard thing to say and it'll skip it and it'll go on to the next one. And this one, unfortunately, I think it's important for us to be here for this one. He says, two things which make me feel nervous. One is that, he says, the day of the Lord is near. Be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is near. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice and consecrated his guests. At that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the men who are evil and bad and nasty and gross. No, that's not what he says. He says, those who are complacent. Oh. Those who are apathetic. Those who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do ill. The Lord will be seeking out those people who are couch potatoes and not taking a stand. That is not what I want to hear. I want to hear the Lord will come and he will whoop the bad people and things will be better for us good people who all live the right way. But he says for those people who take no stand either for or against God. And he says that a couple times in the Bible. He says that in the book of Revelation. He says, if you are neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. He would rather you be against him than non-committal. Isn't that interesting? He would rather you stand up for something than to just let it all not be part of your life. I tell you why I think that is. Because in that battle that he has against people who are standing against him, there is an opportunity to reach those people. If you've already checked out, then you put up a wall that God does not push through. Not that he can't, but he just doesn't. But if you're engaged in a battle, you can be won. Don't be complacent. Because it also says later here, your blood will be poured out like dung. And that's not good. We never read stuff like that in the Bible. And I'm so glad it's only in a couple of places. That's hard words. That is a language that the people of Israel understood. They were visceral people. They were physical people. They were farmers. They had injury after injury. They understood what battles were because when they saw battles, they weren't on television. They were in their backyard. Their brothers and sisters and fathers and were all affected by battles, constant battles. The people of Israel were constantly at war with other people. They understood what this sort of violence meant, and they knew what it meant to be wiped out. We don't. But we do know what it means to be complacent. We know what it means to be apathetic. We know what it means to sit back and let the battle go on without us. I know I do. My life is full of distraction. I don't have to concentrate on certain things. You know, the other day I heard this wonderful thing. Children, and I'd say, stretch this up to, we no longer know how to be bored. We no longer know how to spend our time without something taking up our time. Why? Because we have cell phones. I have mine right here. And every time we have a time of quiet or a moment, we fill it up with check something. Look at the news. Follow the sports. You can do that wherever you are now. There is no sit and be still. There is no sit. Have you ever had those times where maybe you've given up your phone for a couple of hours and you know, or you're in the mountains or something and your cell phone coverage goes away? It's a little bit of panic. A little bit of panic. Feels like my blood's being poured out like dung. I'm never going to say that again. Sorry. It's horrible. It feels terrible. We don't know how to be disengaged from distraction. And our distraction mostly is to keep us from not thinking about the difficult things, about the hard things. What do you say to somebody who's going through grief? Get back into your routine. It'll really help you. Doing the normal things will help you get through this. And that's not a bad thing to say to people. It's true. But sometimes you have to say to people, let them alone. Let them grieve. Let them suffer a little bit, because that's where God will touch them. Don't try to stop them from hurting right away, because it'll make you feel better. They might need to process this the way God has for them. So God is talking about the day when judgment comes, and we say every day in the Nicene Creed, we believe that he will come again, and when he does, it'll be kind of rough, and then it'll be wonderful. And we're reading Zechariah, and then we were reading Zechariah, you might feel really nervous. And last week's reading was also tough. The day of the Lord is coming, it's not going to be great. Fun. But then we jump to the first letter to the Thessalonians, which is Paul's letter to a church which is in the throes of the Roman Empire oppressing them and struggles within. And there's a feeling that the Lord is coming very soon. And what do we do? And life is hard and I can't make it. And he says, you're going to be okay. We're worried about our salvation. We're not sure if we know the right things. We're not sure if we're Christian enough. You're going to be okay. He says, the Lord has latched onto you. And whether you are asleep or awake when the thief comes in the night, because that's how it's going to happen. I love what it says. It's, you know, the end of the Jesus, Lord's coming. He's going to come as suddenly as labor pains. Everybody remember labor pains? I never had them personally. And yet I was awakened by them 3 times. One time I was awake already. The first time when our son was born, it was 3 in the morning. And we heard somebody moving around outside. And I looked up out of the window and I said, oh, it's some, I don't know what's going on. Somebody walking around. And Lisa said, I think I'm having labor pains. And she said, no, I'm okay. And I said, well, what do you mean? And she told me, I said, those are labor pains. I read about it. That's what that is. That's how God is going to come. The people of Israel in Paul's time expected him to come that day. He may come tomorrow. He may come 1,000 years from now. Doesn't matter. What he says is, be assured that you are part of God's family. That in your receiving of Christ as your Savior, he has grafted us into the people of God, the same people that Zephaniah was yelling at, the same people that Jeremiah was talking to, the same people that Isaiah was talking to, the same people that Joel and Habakkuk and Daniel and everyone were speaking to, those same people, people chosen by God to bring about the salvation of the world through Jesus Christ, we are that people. You are that people. And because you have brought him into your life, when Jesus comes, whether you're aware of it or not, whether you're asleep or awake, you're safe in the arms of the Lord. And because we are safe in the arms of the Lord, and because eventually God's going to come back and do his thing, we need to be working towards that in our daily lives. We are to understand and read, and the Bible, and the prayer book says to inwardly digest the word of the Lord. So not just have it read to us, but read it. Study it. Not to earn God's merit, but to learn about who God is. To be in prayer, to be in conversation with our Savior who wants to speak to us. Who says, go off and be quiet. Who says, in his own little way, turn off your stupid cell phone and go be quiet. Even if you're using your cell phone as your Bible, which is now a great conundrum. Get a bookie thing with paper, walk into a quiet room and take time with him. Not to earn his merit, but to gain his relationship with you. And then, to work for him. To find out what he calls you to and do that thing. Now, many times I say this and people say, what are you talking about? And I'm saying, well, come to me, we'll sit down and we'll talk about it. Already God has called you into ministry. He has. He's called you into ministry and you said yes or no to it. My advice to you is to say yes and see where he's going to meet you. At the end of all this, he will look at you when we are before him in the throne, he will see the Son of Jesus Christ standing in front of you, and he will say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant, because Jesus has made you whole, and you have answered the call. He loves you so much that he wants you on his team. Do you remember that feeling? Maybe you weren't the same person that I was, but when you get onto that playground and they're picking teams and they go, Johnny, Bobby, you know, all that. And then they go down to the two guys left. Well, it's between David and Jimmy. Jimmy's got a broken leg and has one eye. Let's pick him. We're all picked for the team. We're on the team. When you're on the team, you work for the goal. And the goal is to bless this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, no matter how that is. What it looks like, I don't know, for you. Could look very different. He's called me into some crazy things I wasn't expecting. He can call you into the same thing. It starts here, and you go out from here, and you find out where God wants you to be. And you listen for his calling, and you listen for his word, and you speak his love, and things will happen. So, in the middle of all this, God is saying, and by the way, there's a lawsuit, and we got some stuff going on. And that might shake you a little bit. You know, when Jesus was going to the cross, before he went to the cross, he looked at Peter and he stopped him and he says, you're going to be shaken. The devil is going to shake you. He didn't say, so stop doing what you're doing and go back to go being a fisherman. He just said, the devil's going to shake you. It's going to be rough a little bit. And it was rough. But St. Peter made it all the way to Rome, right? You might have heard of the Catholic Church? He did a little thing. He's going to shake us, and out of that shaking, good things are going to fall. So we hang together. We put our heart and our soul into our ministry. We look to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, as our Father and our guide and our advocate, and nothing can harm us. Nothing can divert us. Nothing can stop the will of God. And I want to be on that train. And I hope you do too. Let's pray. Gracious Father, there are scary words in these prophetic words. There are scary words throughout all of the prophets. Father, we pray that as we hear them, we understand that your wrath is holy and that your desire to discipline us is the same desire that a good parent has for a child that needs to be taught the right way. Father, we pray that as we look to you, we give you thanks for all of the shaking and sifting and the blessings and the love and grace and comfort, Father, and we know that anything from you is what we need. And Father, we pray as we walk forward in this world that we do not look to hide from the darkness, but Lord God, we look to shine that light that you bring us into that darkness and bring your grace into the hurting world. For that, I give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.